The reading today is Galatians 5, 22 to 25, and I'm reading from the NIV. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit.
Well, good morning, church. It's so great to be with you all today. It's such an honour for myself and the young people to be leading you in worship. And yeah, we just really pray that this has been a blessing for you. Now, I know what you all think when you see me. I know the first thought that comes into your head when you look at me. It's probably the very first thing you thought when you met me all those years ago, either at church or at youth. You look at me and you think, what an absolute physical athlete, right? What a specimen of sporting performance. That is way too much laughter. Way too much. Anyway, if you think I'm in good shape now, you should have seen me back in my school days, right? When I was in sixth form, me and my friends, we used to go to the gym every single day after school. In fact, I even managed to find a photo of me back then in the gym so you can all see what I look like. Chuck it up on the screen, boys. Oh, there it is. Very small, but oh, there we go. I know. I look good, didn't I? It's almost unbelievable. Anyway. One day, me and my friends, we were in the gym, and we decided to do what's called the one rep max test. Does anyone know what the one rep max test is? A few of us. Yeah, I know Dara would. Anyway, so the one rep max test is basically a test you do to see what is the most amount of weight you can lift in one go. Okay, so we decided we were going to do this on the bench press. So that's the one where you would lay back on a bench, and you'd have a bar above you with weight you ran, and you'd push it up and back down to your chest. So, me and my friends all started on 40 kilograms, okay? And we all got through that quite easily. So, we went up to 50 kilograms, and everyone managed to get through that. We went to 60 kilograms, and a few of us started to drop off until we got all the way to 90 kilograms, and it was just me and one of my friends left. Now, we both just managed to lift the 90 kilograms, right? So it went up one more time to the big 100 kilograms. Now, me and my friend gave it absolutely everything that we had, but neither of us could lift the bar even slightly. So what we did is we got up, we shook hands, we called it a draw, so I thought. Most of my friends at that point went home, and I went into the cardio room to try and cool down and stretch up. And as I was in there doing my stretches, I suddenly heard this scream for help. This absolutely petrifying scream for help. So I jumped up and I ran back into the weights room. And I looked across and I could see that my idiot of a friend had attempted to lift the 100 kilograms again all by himself with no one around and no one spotting him. Now, at the point that I saw him, the bar had now fully landed down on his chest. It was crushing him, and he was so exhausted, he'd pretty much given up trying to hold any of the weight himself. Now, at that point, so much adrenaline just flooded through my body. So much adrenaline. I ran over to him, and I remember looking down, and I could just see this fear and this pain in his eyes. And I want you to remember at this point, I had just attempted to lift this weight and I could not move it even slightly. But I went down, I grabbed the bar and I just flung it up in the air and put it back on the stand. Now, to this day, I have no idea how I was able to do that. All I know was I was so full of adrenaline. It's a bit like those stories you hear, isn't it, where people get filled with adrenaline and they can do crazy things. I mean, it's a bit more than my story, but you hear stories, don't you, about mums who are able to like lift up a car to save their child because they're just so full of adrenaline. I have no idea how I did it. But I remember I looked down at my friend and I said, "What the redacted were you thinking?" I was so angry at him that he'd put himself in that much danger. And then, a few minutes later, I suddenly thought to myself, did I just lift that weight? It took nearly everything I had at that point not to say to him, "So does that mean I won our competition?" But you know, this is a bit what it's like as a Christian with the Holy Spirit. If we try and do things in our own strength, if we try and do things in our own wisdom, in our own perseverance, we always fail. But when we step out in the power of the Holy Spirit, anything is possible. The Holy Spirit is a part of the Godhead. He is how we live out a personal relationship with God the Father and with Jesus. He is how we encounter the presence of our living God. The Holy Spirit guides us, strengthens us, renews us, and comforts us. The Holy Spirit is not an optional part of Christianity. Christianity is all about a relationship with a God who loves us and saved us. And without the Holy Spirit, without the Spirit, we cannot live out this personal relationship with God. So, in today's passage, we are looking at the fruit of the Spirit. It doesn't say fruits of the Spirit, it's singular. The fruit of the Spirit is love. And then joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control all come out of this love. They are expressions of this love. This is the fruit that the Holy Spirit produces in the lives of those who live out a relationship with Jesus. The Holy Spirit produces love. Now, the young people often say to me, "Who's your favorite?" Or sometimes they'll come to me and say, "I know that young person's your favorite," or "Those young people are your favorite." But you know, the truth is, favoritism can actually be a really dangerous thing. And people can get hurt by it. Often it comes from those who maybe have been made to feel unloved at some point, so they're desperate to feel like a favorite in someone's eyes. But the truth is, and I really want my young people to know this, God has filled me with so much of his Holy Spirit that I have so much love for them that I can't explain it. He's given me a love so I can have grace for them, even when at a sleepover event, they're being noisy and keeping me awake at 3 a.m. Even when I plan a session and they may even talk all the way through it. Or when I encourage them or listen to them and speak life into them, and in reply, get this, they call me an old man. The Holy Spirit has filled me with so much love for each of them that I couldn't possibly know who my favorite was, even if I wanted to. I just know that I love them. The fruit of the Spirit is love. And God can deposit that love in you where you need it. We are not a people called to live out in our own strength. This is not a preach which is going to tell you that you should be more loving. You should be more patient. You should be more gentle. I'm done with the word should. Aren't you? It's time to take that pressure off. So this passage is found in Paul's letter to the Galatians. And Paul was writing this letter to them because a group of Jewish Christians were still trying to live under the law. And they were telling Christians from a non-Jewish background that they needed to follow the rules and the laws of the Torah and that they needed to get circumcised. But Paul was writing to them to tell them that Jesus has already fulfilled the law. When he died in our place for our sins and mistakes, we were forgiven, full stop. All of our sins and mistakes, past, present, and future, were forgiven at the cross. And he rose again so we can live in an everlasting relationship with him. And Paul is telling the Galatians that they no longer need to live under the law, but that now they can live by the Holy Spirit and his leading. Because of what Jesus did for us, we can be transformed by the Spirit, not by following rules and law. And as Paul writes in verse 23, when talking about the fruit of the Spirit, he says, there is no law against these things. And I think he can add, there is no law that can produce these things. Only the Holy Spirit, by the grace of Jesus, can produce this fruit in our lives. And for some of you, maybe it's time to stop putting all your focus on your failures and the things that you should be doing better. There's that word again, should. The things you should be doing better. It's time to take that pressure off your shoulders. It's okay. All of your sins and mistakes have been forgiven. It's time to start putting your focus on the grace and forgiveness of Jesus and spend more time resting and receiving from the Holy Spirit. That is where your life will be transformed. It's not us that produces the fruit. It is produced by the Holy Spirit. And the more we spend time in his presence through his word, worship, prayer, and simply resting in him, the more we will live in his ways and live out a life full of fruit in the eyes of those around us. And this is so important because we live in a dark world right now that desperately, desperately needs people shining the light of Jesus in their lives. And when we live out this fruit that is produced by the Spirit, the world notices. That's why this is so important. Because some people may never hear the gospel, but they may see it in the way you live your life for Jesus. The way you love God and love your neighbor as yourself. In the way that you demonstrate joy in the peace that you carry. In the patience that you have for others. In the kindness that you pour out. People see that and they wonder, what is different about this person? It creates opportunities to share your faith and introduce people to Jesus. You could transform and save someone's life simply by receiving and living out your life through the power of the Spirit. But I want to say this again. This is not done in your own strength. This is not done by working hard or following rules. This is all done through the Holy Spirit. Back in November, I was going through a bit of a tough time. I was just feeling really spiritually burnt out. And this went on for quite a few days until one evening, I just came home and I saw Mahala and I went over to her and I just sobbed in her arms. And I just sobbed and sobbed and sobbed. And she helped me to release my emotion and she listened to me and she prayed for me. And then the next day, I went to see my supervisor, who was kind of like my counselor, but for work. And again, he listened to me and he encouraged me and he validated me. And then at the end of that week, I went to something called the National Youth Ministry Weekend, which is this incredible event for youth workers all around the country to come together. And I had a great time at the weekend. But then on the last night, the preacher for that evening suddenly said, if you're a youth worker and you're feeling spiritually burnt out, then come to the front for prayer. And I was like, I do not want to do that. I do not want to do that. But I knew it was me, so I went to the front anyway. And I didn't really expect anything to happen. I wasn't feeling like God was particularly going to do anything special. But I got there, and I just opened up my hands, and instantly, the Holy Spirit started resting on me in an incredibly tangible way. I started crying. I started shaking. And the leader of the National Youth Ministry Weekend, he's also the leader of Satellites, called Martin Saunders. He saw me and he came down off the stage and he put his hand on my back and started praying for me. And his hand felt like fire. It was so hot. And he said he felt like God was saying to me that he was going to deposit a fresh wave of the Spirit in my life and that it would be a bit like an athlete taking a Lucozade tablet before a race. And as soon as he said that, the Holy Spirit fell on me in a way that I had never experienced before. It was so powerful that I just simply fell back into Martin's arms. And he caught me and he laid me on the floor. And him and some of the team there were praying for me. And I probably laid there for about 20 minutes. And then after about 20 minutes, I sat up and I opened my eyes. And we all looked at each other. And then we just burst out laughing. Like we laughed and we laughed and we laughed for absolutely ages. And Martin gave me a big hug and then carried on with what he was doing on the stage. But you know, since that moment, I felt so spiritually full and empowered to continue on with the mission that God has for me. I'm filled up with all the love that I need to pour out to others. But you know, that doesn't mean that everything suddenly gets easy. And I hadn't actually planned to say this today, but we had a bit of sad news this week, which really just knocked me for six, like real punch in the gut. So actually giving this preach today has been quite difficult for me. But you know, God is still bigger than that. God is still bigger than that. And you know what it reminded me as well? It's like, we don't just get filled once and then that's it for the rest of our lives, we're good. We have to keep being filled with the Spirit. And right now this morning, unexpectedly, I'm in a place where I'm like, God, I just need you right now. I really need your Holy Spirit right now because I just feel absolutely battered. Absolutely just like I've been hit. And I need the Spirit this morning. And maybe you find yourself in that place this morning where you're just like, do you know what? I just desperately need a fresh filling of the Holy Spirit. I'm desperate for it, God. Well, God wants to fill you with that Holy Spirit as well. It's not always as dramatic as the experience I had at the National Youth Ministry weekend. In fact, I've had many, many experiences of the Holy Spirit, which are just really calm. Sometimes it just feels like a supernatural peace. Sometimes you might cry or laugh. Sometimes you might feel warmth or get a picture from God. You may feel absolutely nothing at all. That's okay. But the Holy Spirit always, always shows up when we ask. And it's always beautiful. In Luke chapter 11, verses 9 to 13, Jesus says, "And so I tell you, keep on asking and you will receive. Keep on seeking and you will find. Keep on knocking and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and everyone who seeks finds. And to everyone who knocks, the door will be opened. You fathers, if your children ask for a fish, do you give them a snake instead? If they ask for an egg, do you give them a scorpion? Of course not. So if you sinful people know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? How much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him?" Are you asking for the Holy Spirit in your life? Are you asking? So this morning we're going to have an opportunity to ask and receive from him. And maybe, like I say, you're in a place a bit like I am this morning, where you're like, "God, I just desperately need a fresh filling from you this morning. I desperately need a fresh filling of your Holy Spirit." Maybe there's a situation in your life where you just know you really need more love. Maybe you really need more peace or patience. Whatever it is, you can ask God and he will fill you by your Holy Spirit. Receive his Spirit. Let it transform you and produce fruit in your lives.